Hello, everybody. I'm Radio Johnny, along with Denise Miller, and you are listening to Recovery Radio on KRFP 90.3 FM in Moscow, Pullman. Recovery Radio is an outreach of the Latah and Whitman Recovery Community Centers. You can find them on the web at latahrecoverycenter.org and on Facebook. The Latah Recovery Community Center is located at 531 South Main Street in Moscow. You can contact the LRCC by phone at 208-883-1045 or by email at latahrecoverycenter@gmail.com. Their hours are 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. Monday through Friday. The Whitman Recovery Community Center is located at 226 East Main Street in Pullman, and you can contact the WRCC by phone at 509-715-1111 or by email at wrccprogrammanager@gmail.com. And their hours are 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday. Recovery Radio's purpose is to share with our community how addictions and behavioral health disorders affect us all and how we deal with them. We also share the personal stories of people in and around recovery, highlighting their experience, insight, and hope for continued recovery. And like I said earlier, I am Radio Johnny, and for the what's left of the February calendar, 9 days or so, you can go online to latahrecoverycenter.org and check that out. And also, at least one more reminder that our fundraising breakfast and desserts are coming up on March 4th, and it will be at the University Inn there on the Moscow Pullman Road. The breakfast is at 7 a.m. The dessert is at 7 p.m. Radio Johnny and Denise will be there, so you can meet us if you'd like. And also, there's still room, I believe, for table captains. If you want to be a table captain, all you have to do is invite seven of your closest friends or enemies to come down with you and have a great breakfast or an ice cream bar dessert, which was really good last year. I think I ate about a pound of maraschino cherries.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. This will be the first time I'll be there for both the breakfast and the dessert, so I can check that out. And also, if you just want to come and sit with us for the event, you don't have to be a table captain.
That's right.
Although you can be.
That's right. Right. There will be room to sneak you in at a table somewhere. Well, you meet some other cool people that, you know, have this sort of recovery thing in mind and want to learn more about what we do.
Yeah.
Who knows? You may even end up wanting to volunteer down here, or you can always come on to Recovery Radio and tell your recovery story.
That too.
You know, it's not always about addiction. It's sometimes it's behavioral health, mental health stuff, but all kinds of, you know, addictions, food addictions. I mean, we've had somebody on for almost everything.
It's been a lot of things.
So it's a good opportunity to meet like-minded people and hear a really great presentation by
Megan
Guido.
Yes.
Who is on the board of the Whitman Recovery Community Center. And I forget, they named
She's like the director over there.
Yeah. There's going to be a speaker with a recovery story, and I don't recall her name, and I apologize for that. But come on down, you'll get to hear that too. So today on our topic, and you heard Denise there. Hi, Denise. I'm sorry I didn't introduce you.
Oh, no, it's okay. Hi, everybody.
How rude of me.
You did introduce me. You're good.
That's my usual thing. Should change my name from Johnny Rotten to Johnny Rude. I kind of wanted just to go over something a little bit because, you know, I talk about in the introduction, you know, behavioral health disorders. Well, a lot of people seem to think that behavioral health and mental health fall into the same categories. So I just wanted to go over a little thing here I pulled off the interwebs.
Yeah, good information.
That kind of describes the difference between the two. And then we'll go on to some different topics for today. So the question is there a difference between behavioral health and mental health? And the answer is no, they aren't the same, but they overlap significantly. Behavioral health is a broader term that includes mental health, plus behaviors like diet, exercise, sleep, and substance use, while mental health focuses specifically on emotional, psychological, and social well-being. Think of mental health as a core part of behavioral health, which covers how all habits and actions affect your overall wellness, both mental and physical. For mental health, the focus is your emotional, psychological, and social state, how you think, feel, and act. Examples of that are depression, anxiety, bipolar disorder, stress management. Behavioral health, the focus is the connection between behaviors and overall health, including mental and physical wellness. Some of the examples of behavioral health are substance abuse, eating disorders, sleep patterns, exercise habits, addiction, and mental health conditions like depression. The key difference between the two is a mental health issue like anxiety is a behavioral health issue, but a behavioral health issue like binge watching TV isn't always a mental health diagnosis unless it significantly impacts your mental state. In short, behavioral health looks at the big picture of how your actions and conditions impact your well-being, with mental health being a crucial component within it. So if anyone was ever confused about that, like I was, that kind of gives you a broad overview of those two things. And actually, Denise and I were discussing before before we started recording here, that we're going to have somebody come in that can speak to those specific issues. What do you do with behavioral health problems? What's a kind of a treatment plan? Sort of things in mental health, like bipolar, there's medications and there's, other things you can do that are kind of outside of your just innate ability to do certain things.
Yeah.
Like I can, as an alcoholic, I can stop drinking, but the way I look at it, I can stop drinking, but I'll still be stark raving sober. So I have to address the other behaviors that went along with mm-hmm. that drinking and mm-hmm. change those in order to become more well-balanced and, healthy in general, physically, mentally, spiritually. So it's kind of along those lines. But we're going to talk about those another day.
Yeah, I was just going to say, lastly, like getting into recovery and stopping substances was like really the first step in all the changes that I've made since then.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Those changes for me, I needed to stop making those choices to put those kinds of chemicals or pills in my body so that I could start working on looking at myself and figuring out the things that I needed to heal and then the areas, the gaps of the things that I needed to learn so that I could be a better person to be around, also be more fulfilled in my life too.
Right. Yeah. Well, and I have a friend who he has what's called dissociative identity disorder, mm-hmm. which they used to call, multiple personality disorder. And when he was drinking, he was getting into a bad place. He was taking meds for the bipolar and the dissociative identity disorder. And when he was talking to his sister who had gotten sober, his sister had to remind him, she said, those drugs don't work if you drink, mm-hmm. Which he had had not even considered. Why aren't the drugs working? Why am I still suffering?
They don't usually mix well. Or with marijuana either. So.
Right, exactly. Or other exactly. Drugs. We could only be making things worse here without knowing it. So anyway, we will get deeper into the weeds on that in upcoming weeks. We're looking forward to getting a master's level student in here coming up before too long. So we're going to drag them into the fray. Maybe even get our good friend of the show, Dr. Valerie Russo, to come in and talk a little bit from her experience. That'll be cool. Mm-hmm. And for our little back and forth today, we're going to pick a couple topics from our list of 101 things. I think we're through five of them now, so we've got material for weeks to come. And I wanted to look at two of them today because I think they both are kind of related, well, seriously related, as it relates to, you know, my sobriety, my, you know, what happened story and what it's like now story. And the first one being managing finances.
Yeah.
That's what they talk about.
There's a subject.
And yeah, and I'll kind of kick it off here. Back when my drinking really took off, I was working and had been working for like 25 years in electronics and computer manufacturing, more specifically down in Silicon Valley in California. And it was great jobs, high paying, but at that time, everything, all the manufacturing work was being offshore to, Taiwan, China, Korea, to the east, to the far east. And I found myself not only slipping into an alcoholic haze at that point due to, my mother's cancer diagnosis and death shortly after, all of a sudden there was no work in my career path that I had done for 25 years. And people tend to make their work a huge part of what their life is about and who they are. So not only had I lost, a rock in the family, I had lost all direction on work. And of course, at the time, like I said, my drinking was going off the rails at that point. I found a little job working at a hardware store where everybody drank or used some kind of substance, and the boss didn't really care as long as it didn't get out of control. I'm not saying that he didn't care. It's like if you just laid low and didn't make an idiot out of yourself,
right?
You
do your job.
You could get away with it for a time. He eventually caught me drinking and fired me, rightfully so. And he was so kind about it. He said, if you get this drinking problem under control, I think you'd be a great employee. That was the most kind way I'd ever been fired in my life. So anyway. Mm-hmm. Getting back to finances, well, I went from making, six figures a year to making in the mid five figures a year, or even less actually then. I was probably bringing in about $20,000 a year or something like that. And so things got tight. And, things had to be done. We didn't, my wife and I didn't really live above our means. We were fortunate that we had built this apartment in the downstairs area of our home. It was kind of a split level house. And we were able to make some income off of that apartment after my mom passed away. And that was very helpful. I mean, that was probably what kept us from, losing the house and the car and all that because of my drinking. My wife stayed gainfully employed, was actually doing quite well for herself. But it was like, what do we do now? And when I finally did stop drinking, the wreckage was there. Bills were past due, despite my wife's best effort, to keep the wolf away at the door from the door. Things were not in good shape. So we sat down and we talked about what can we do? Well, for one thing, we had bought our house when the mortgage rates were up around, believe it or not, like 15%. And back in those days, it wasn't a huge deal because you could get a three-bedroom, two-bath, split-level house with a basement family room for $160,000, $170,000 down there. So that higher interest rate really wasn't a deal breaker at that time. But we found out, the interest rates had dropped since we had bought that house, and we were able to refinance with some creative paperwork on my part and, get the payments down a little more manageable. And then the other part was, you know, me getting back into the workforce, which is the next topic we'll talk about. But it was a matter of reconfiguring the way we thought about our finances. You know, we went through, you know, the baby step program. What's his name? There's a guy on the radio who talks
Dave
about
Dave Ramsey.
Dave Ramsey, right. Mm-hmm. Where, and he's been around a long time. And I used to listen to him when I was doing one of my early jobs in sobriety, working as a Pinkerton security guard. Driving around in the Jeep, listening to the radio and watching out for car thieves and stuff. And he talked about, you know, different strategies for paying things off. So we adopted some of those and, you know, managed to claw ourselves back up to level, nice. You know, but it took some time.
It does take time.
And some dedication and, you know, some understanding that there's not going to be a vacation trip this year. Mm-hmm. You know, if that was our thing, it really wasn't. But I mean, if we were gonna, you know, like spend a weekend with somebody, we really had to scrape our nickels together and make sure we had gas money to get there. We knew they'd feed
there
us.
There wasn't much room for extras
right,
at all.
It
was kind of like roof over your head,
right?
Power bill paid,
right?
Food,
yeah,
yep.
Food and shelter,
minimal on everything else,
right? Yep. Rice and beans. That's all you need to survive. Right. You know, sort
I would
of thing.
Say throw in some broccoli with that.
Right. And that was, you know, that was an adjustment coming from, you know, a six-figure income. You know, I won't say we spent foolishly, but we spent it like we had it.
Right. And that's kind of the thing is you get accustomed to where you are in the bracket.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. And quite honestly, were those times horrible? No, they weren't. They were simpler. They were way less stressful. And so there was some good that came out of that, of tightening the belt and just not, you know, not having to worry about, like, do we have the latest TV set?
Right.
You know,
because you couldn't keep up with the Joneses. That wasn't a part
right,
of the deal.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, do we need two car payments? Right. You know, that's that sort of thing.
But you were actually creating so much less stress in working on that, I bet, each month. I mean, the buckling down is a little bit of an adjustment, but the peace of mind that you eventually got with having that all taken care of, oh, man.
Oh, yeah, for
that
sure.
Saves on the wrinkles for sure.
Right. And that wasn't something that was settled in 6 months.
No.
That was years in the making.
Yeah.
And I mean, it finally culminated with us realizing that living in the San Francisco Bay Area was insane because you had to live that crazy 24/7 lifestyle to get by. You know, you had to have a really well-paying job. Just to meet expenses, the taxes were insane down there. Mm-hmm. I mean, people here in Idaho grouch about, you know, 6% or 6.5%, whatever it is, you know, sales tax. Oh my God, we go over to Seattle so I can get my brain scans, and it's 16, 17, 21%. You stay at a motel, and there's I had to book a motel for this next trip. We're going in April. And there's fees and taxes equal to one night stay.
Holy crikey.
I mean, it's nuts. Yeah. Yeah. And
yikes.
Yeah. So it was something we looked at and went, this is really unsustainable. Mm-hmm. Let's get the hell out. My wife had just gone through a retrain and had a skill that was portable. I had my own business at that point, and I could do it from anywhere. And so we threw a dart at the wall, and it hit Pullman, Washington. No, I'm teasing. My wife's sister actually had lived in Pullman for a long time, and we've been up here a few times and kind of really liked the vibe of Moscow and Pullman. Yeah. And that's, you know, how we wound up here.
Nice.
And I know you've got a recreation story as well with a lot of twists and turns because there's children involved.
Right. Yeah. Boy, oh boy. I don't know. I would hope that my financial situation would be a lot different not having four kids. I would assume that it would be.
Yeah.
There's a lot that goes into having children. And I've been having children since I was very young. So
yeah.
I call it the 15 to 55. So.
15 to 55.
Yes, I start at 15, and I will be 55 when my youngest is 18.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Right. That's so currently insane. I've been a mom for 37 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
And a darn good one, I might
I add. Am improving. The first two were kind of guinea pigs. I'm sorry, guys. They know that. Sorry. The teens
but
now.
But you had help.
Yeah, I did. And the teens now, they've got a better mom. Definitely the one in recovery. Yeah. Because in my 30s, I really struggled with substance use and it was kind of a mess. So, yeah. It's like the new and improved mom. So, my turn on finances?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, I just want to start out by saying my mom and dad were very type A, very organized people. And unfortunately, my dad passed when I was young, but my mom raised me to keep track of finances, know how to call if there was a bill that came that was paid and or whatever, and they were saying it wasn't, all the things. She tried to make me as capable as possible in teaching me one-on-one how to deal with things. So I'm a person who just writes things down. I do my budget each pay period and all that kind of stuff to stay on top of what's coming in, what's going out. And when I struggled in an addiction, things were very chaotic because the priority moved to the substances being number one. And that's just a real bad way to go. It's never a winning situation, I would say, probably for anyone. When I got into recovery and started over with basically knew everything as far as like getting some used clothes and that kind of stuff. I just had my family. We stayed in a hotel for like a month before finding a place that we could actually 6 months. My goodness, 6 months before I got talking to somebody at my job and was able to get into a townhouse. But over the last 8 years that I've been, on my own, I'm divorced and I have two kids. It has been a little bit of a struggle to figure out finances. And this last year, I took the Crown Financial at Real Life at Restoration Night, and that was really helpful. Some of my issues after kind of getting like sustained with money coming in, money going out, and trying to be a little frugal, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Has
responsible.
Been responsible. There yeah. we go. Responsible is a way better word. My mom used to say, what was it? Something to that effect. I really didn't like it when she said that, but was trying to figure out having savings. So, I'm working on paying off debt. That's everything from like surgery debt back to Gritman, $12,000 in braces for my children, all these different kinds of things. It gets kind of heavy. But trying to figure out how to dig out of all of that. So kind of like what you were talking about, just like making the payments and staying on top of things and trying to be a little bit more careful with what we spend money on, you know? It's like we only have so much at the end of the pay period to do stuff with. So it's definitely been a process over the years. This job that I have now is the first full-time job that I've had. Previously, I would have something from like 20 to 30 hours a week for income. It's been challenging. Yeah. It really has. But I would say today, though, that the difference with managing money is I'm not managing money with making poor choices with things that I shouldn't be buying. So that makes a lot of difference.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Big difference.
Well, it always comes down to wants and needs, doesn't it?
Right. It really does.
You know, your needs are, like we said earlier, roof over your head, food in your stomach, mm-hmm. Maybe some electricity.
Yeah.
Although there's people who can live without that somehow.
Right. And I guess I need to share that today all of the basic needs are covered, like right off the top, food, housing, vehicle, those kinds of things those are always covered. And those weren't always covered before. You know, there were times when things were really, really tight. And I was like, how are we going to eat or how are we going to pay the electric bill? So there's been a lot of improvement over the last 12 and a half years in recovery and like really focusing on, you know, showing up and making the right choices.
Yeah, that's a huge thing, about recovery. And we're kind of morphing actually into the next topic, which is, job planning and finding work and maintaining a work-life balance, so to speak. But for me, I can't put it any other way. It was a gift from God. I had been sober for, I don't know, a matter of three months. And the fog, it really took a while to clear.
Sure.
That's so fair. I could think more clearly. I was spending my life hopping from one AA meeting to the next literally all day long. Right. I hear people up here talk about going to 90 meetings in 90 days and what a trouble that was.
Oh, and you think they're wussies, huh? Yeah.
I did it in less than 30 days because I would go to 6 o'clock in the morning meetings, then hit a noon meeting, then hit a early evening meeting, and sometimes, you know, meetings at 10 o'clock at night. Right. You know, so I was doing that, and it was being tolerated by my wife because I was staying sober, and that was at least her minimal expectation at that time. There were more later, but
I mean, there's a lot that's accomplished in 90 days, like new habits and brain stuff that's formed within that first. People will say that the 30-day chip is the hardest. I think it's the 90-day chip.
Yeah. Yeah, because you go through that phase where you hit the what people call the pink cloud. Yeah. You know, your body's healing up, your brain's clearing, things are getting better, and that's when a lot of people hit relapse because they're like, oh, I feel great now. I can probably
I think maybe maybe it is
again.
Maybe it's that we forget how bad it was before.
Oh yeah, we have an incredible ability to forget the. It even says it in the Alcoholics Anonymous book. We forget the pain of a month or even a week ago, you know, the stuff that happens. But so I was sitting on my front porch going, okay, God, I gotta get back to work. You know, I just can't keep meeting hopping. I'm feeling healthy. I'm ready to go.
Yeah, that's good.
And, you know, like I said, we had an apartment in our place and a young lady friend of ours was renting it and her boyfriend, came out on his way to go to his job, and he's like, "Hey, what's going on, Johnny?" And I'm like, "Hey, Stretch, I gotta find some work. Just thinking about that." And he goes, "Oh, you know about electrical, don't you?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I've been shocking myself for 25 years. At this point, I know which wire not to touch and that kind of thing." And he pulled a card out of his pocket and said, "Call my boss. We're always looking for people." And I'm like, "Okay." So I went in the house, took my morning shower, got on the phone, called this guy up, talked to him for, half an hour. And he said, "Come on in this afternoon, bring a resume, and we'll talk some more." So I went and talked to him, and he hired me on the spot. I said, "Well, I know Stretch has some tools that he uses. I don't know that I have them all." He said, "Well, we'll set you up with all the tools you need, and we'll just take it out of your pay a little bit at a time." And I went to work the next afternoon, or next day, actually, with Stretch. Mm-hmm. So he was kind of my mentor and getting used to it. And so, I mean, the only planning it took on my part was me, giving it to God and saying, "Okay, I'm going to do the work." And he just went, "Okay, you're doing pretty good here. Just going to throw you a bone."
You were
on
doing
this
your
one.
Part is what yeah. you were doing. God was yeah. doing his part. That's cool.
Yeah.
And your friend was, quote, the community doing their part.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And and that went from being, working what we call on the ladders. Mm-hmm. We did lighting retrofits from the old big fatty fluorescent tubes, the little skinny ones with electronic ballasts, and working on the ladders, doing that, and changing stuff out, washing things. And one day my boss said, people really like you and they like to work with you. Do you want to run a crew? So I started running a crew, and after a while he said, all the crews really like you and you're easy to get along with, and you seem to be really getting stuff done, thinking ahead. Because I was a list maker, too. Nice. I was like, I don't like the way this is going. Mm-hmm. We could use this. And I'd write it down and bring stuff to him as the list grew. And eventually, I ended up supervising all the crews and running around. And this all happened, within a year. It was not what I was expecting. It was not what I was shooting for.
Probably kept you busy and feeling pretty good about things, huh?
Oh, yeah. All I had to do was what was right in front of me.
That's great.
And because we worked nights primarily doing these projects, I was getting calls from people I had met in the program, like, "Are you okay?" Did you go, "Man, no, man, I'm just working my butt off."
Nice.
you know, working nights, you know, I'll hit you on the noon meeting or something. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, and it just went on from there. And nice. And whenever I hit a spot where, like when I came up here and I had to fold my business up, it's like, I don't know what I'm going to do, God. And I opened up the newspaper, and here was a giant half-page ad for SEL. And I had met Ed, and he had suggested that I, you know, go work for him. This was shortly after we moved up here. We had a connection to him through my wife's sister. Little Eddie and Stephanie were in the same class with her children. So I was like, do I really want to do this? Get back into the manufacturing fray, because it was really stressful. Will this threaten my sobriety? I'm like, no, you just ask God again to point you in the right direction, and he just put a half-page ad in front of you. So I went and I worked for them for 15 years till I was, you know, of the age to retire, and just, you know, it was getting burnt out. It's a fast pace. It's really designed for younger, less jaded people. So, but there it was, you know. And then in retirement, a friend of ours was doing janitorial work, which I had done years and years ago. And actually did as a stopgap when I was here, too. While my business was struggling, I went to work for American Building Maintenance and did cleaning at a couple of schools and different health clinics and stuff. And so our friend was getting out of the janitorial business for your friend of mine, Dr. Picard. And he hired my wife and I to clean his two clinics up here. So it's like, whenever I wanted work or needed work, it's been there. It's not been what I necessarily asked for, other than asking for work. Hey, I need a little something more to do. And I know that sounds kind of simplistic and maybe silly, and certainly not the only path you can take. I mean, there are other things. I mean, you work with people all the time on stuff like that, right?
Yeah, on like figuring out what they can do. Sometimes I ask what kind of work they've done in the past, what they would like to do now, what kinds of things they're thinking of, like what their schedule is.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, because even when I made that shift from the manufacturing environment to the hardware store, you know, that was, even though that was back in the bad old days, that was like taking the first thing. You know, they came along as well.
Right.
And it turns out it's just my personality. I'm able to get along with people. I would have people come in, you know, let's face it, most people don't head to the hardware store in a good mood. Something has gone horribly wrong.
Right. You got to be able to.
And they need to fix it.
Yeah.
And I remember.
Got to be able to people.
This one time a woman came in and she was just chewing nails and spitting rust. And I need this. And I don't know what I need. This is broken. And you need to help. You know, this is not, I don't think this is what. And I stopped her and I said, ma'am, I just want to know, are you mad at me? And she stopped and she went, well, no. And I said, okay, good. Well, we're going to solve your problem here. So let's, you know, let's take a breath. And tell me again what's going on, and let me see if I can, you know. And she actually, we got her with some electrical thing she needed, and we got it to her, and she actually wrote a note, a letter to my boss saying how wonderful the staff was there and how they helped her. Never mentioned my name. Dang it. But yeah, that would have just been too much of an ego stroke for me at that point. I had enough trouble with
you. You would have tooted your own horn too much, huh?
Yeah, that's right. So yeah, I mean, it's.
Yeah, come to think of it, when I would go into a hardware store, unless I was going to Spence to buy jeans, I was usually a little rattled too.
Yeah.
Because it's not my element at all.
Yeah.
Even if I'm going to buy soil for something, like, I don't know, you know, like I need somebody, I need to buy a hose. I need to buy soil. I need, no, it's not a fun thing for me. It's super out of my element. Yeah. That's fair.
Well, and that's, and it's absolutely not related to any sort of, sex, or gender, sort of thing.
Right. Cause if you're my eldest daughter, you are at home there. In fact, she worked at Moscow Building Supply for years.
Right.
Yeah. No problem. She can do drywall. I mean,
Yeah. Yeah, it's just like I said, you know, most people don't head to the hardware store until, you know, at just after the fire,
right?
You know, to fix this or that.
Yeah.
But there are other ways. Yeah, you know, you're talking about, you know, talking to people about what they've done before.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to actually just share a little bit about my story with work. So when I entered into recovery, you have to have a job if you're in specialty court. And luckily, they were pretty kind about how many hours I needed to work because I had two little kids. And I winded up getting a job at Anytime Fitness because my daughter worked there. And she had went to her boss, which was the owner, and said, you know, my mom's in recovery now. I think, you know, she's really going to do it. But she needs work. And she was like, send her on down. So I was pretty much hired on the spot, which was cool.
Yeah.
And I loved working there. It was great. It was like physical and got to be around people and everything like that. And then also the owners and the people that worked there were really great.
Mm-hmm.
A bit into it, I was starting to have problems again with my back, and the owners, you know, gifted me 9 months of a personal trainer, and then I took over after that with the personal trainer, and as we were nearing into like year eight, I was really starting to have problems with my back and stuff, and I needed to switch careers this time.
Right.
Instead of doing what I did last time, which was what led me into having problems with substance use, because I was trying to be able to continue doing the physical labor that I was back in my 30s, I decided, let's try something different. I probably need to switch careers. I'm getting older. I was in my 40s. And I reached out to vocational rehabilitation and met with them a few times. And it was really cool. The lady was like, you know, I think I remember something. There's like this grant where you can have a place train you for 3 months and we'll pay for you, you know, mm-hmm. to get trained and everything. And I was like, that's pretty interesting. But I didn't really know where that was going to go. And then my very good friend said something like about stepping into her position when she retired in like 5 years. And then I kind of put those two things together and I was like, hey, you know, so I heard about this thing. Or maybe I told her about that and then she told me about, anyways, it just all worked out. And I was able to, quote, you know, switch careers from something physical into more of a desk job and like working with people. And, yeah, so that's kind of where I am today. Is it was really cool though. I was very nervous about learning computers and all of that side of it, and to be able to have somebody that cared about me and that I trusted to share an office. She shared her office with me, so that I could ask her 30 or 40 questions a day.
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing. She would just turn around. She'd be like, "Yeah, what can I? You know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I can help you with that." And I was like, "Oh, thank you." I remember taking my phone out to take videos of certain things that she was showing me, so that I could look back at it later.
Right.
You know, I mean, everything was so new. So.
Oh yeah, when we
I lived through the whole thing,
and that was before we started. And before that happened,
yes,
we were
started
doing the radio program. And I remember I would set things up and you're like, oh, hang on, let me get my phone. I want
And I would video
like how to move this on the computer.
Because I didn't know how to do all that stuff. What was the beginning part of like switching things over from the news, that 5 minute blurb of like, I forget what it's called, the radio station, to what we were doing or to like switch music was like absolutely mind-blowing to me. I couldn't even figure out how to do that. Yeah, it was like, do what?
Yeah.
Open what? Yeah.
Well, and that's why I think, you know, in my opinion, God put us together to do this, because when Nancy Cheney decided to stop doing the radio program.
Mm-hmm.
Nancy Casey, excuse me. Cheney was the mayor. I'm
scarred. There you go, see?
Anyway, Nancy Casey stopped doing it. They put out a call for someone if they wanted to do it. And I had been doing volunteering.
All sorts of stuff around here, yeah.
Yeah, volunteering and around here and hanging out quite a bit. And I went, you know, I did that in college. They had a little radio station that I think covered the campus and a couple of the annoyed neighbors. So it didn't. It sounded interesting, at least, but I wasn't sure, you know, how I would, you know, be able to do it by myself and whatnot. And I came in, and here was Denise Miller.
And there I was. And I had just recently been on the show and was like, no, this can't end. We need to be able to have other people come on and share their stories.
Right, exactly.
Which I had no idea what I was getting myself
into,
I don't think.
Yeah. So, well, even before, you know, Daryl came down, sat down with us to explain what the commitment would be like and whatnot, Denise and I started talking, and I realized almost instantly that, okay, she's a talker, she's curious. Yeah, this would be a good partnership. And then I found out about your being a technophobe, so to speak. And I went, well, that's even better then, because she doesn't have to focus on that. Although you did. You learned how to do the stuff.
Did I?
You know, because I remember your first, first shows was interviewing me. And so I was totally on the other side of the mic. And you ran the desk and the place didn't burn down. So
did I? I don't remember that.
But yeah, no, it's just I knew it would be a good pairing of people to do something like this, to talk. So perfect. Even though I yammer on constantly.
See, and I'm a team person. I can do things on my own, and yes, I can take instructions, yada, yada, yada. But I'm really a team person. I like doing things. You know, it's like, let's meet together. Let's figure out what we're doing. We can delegate, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then we're off to it, you know.
Right, right.
I'm not necessarily the big visionary person who just envisions everything. But I do have a lot of friends like that, and it works out really well.
Mm-hmm. Sure, sure.
Very nice.
And you know, you don't have to be a leader of people if you can be a leader of yourself, because that's really the hard part, as far as I'm concerned.
Yep. I can work in groups, so it works out okay.
Yep.
I like to be an encourager. So that's my job.
That's your job. Well, and speaking of jobs, we're getting close to the end here.
Sure.
Let's see. We covered the upcoming March 4th recovery fundraiser.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of want to hit that again. You know, it's going to be, again, March 4th, 7 a.m. for you early birds, 7 p.m. Mm-hmm. for people who like to sleep later or get off work later. And every year, it's just gotten a little bit better than the year before.
Yeah, it's fun to go to.
Yeah, and
you invited me the first year that I attended. It was a ways back. It was cool before I worked here. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and Paul Kimmel, who's Mr. Avista, has signed up to basically MC the thing again.
Nice.
And he's a real good host, you know, as far as introducing people and talking a little bit and sharing the story of the LRC. I don't know if Daryl's going to get up and speak at all. He probably will.
Probably.
And there's going to be one of our board members, I think, is going to be doing what they call the ask near the end, you know, where we lock the doors and threaten not to let people leave.
He's joking. We take donations to go towards what
donations.
We do.
And, you know,
to help our community.
Just suggestion, just, you know, $100 bill in the envelope. I mean,
or whatever you can donate.
Or a quarter. I mean, that has Washington on it, you know.
And even if you just come and listen to what we do and you're able to, you know, refer people here and share in our community, that's beneficial too.
Yeah. And like I said, we have had people come to that breakfast and decide to come on this program, and also come in and volunteer.
We have.
And even work here, for example.
Absolutely. Go figure, right? Yeah.
So, yeah. So it's totally worth it. But come on down. You only got, it's only, what, 2 weeks away?
Yeah, it's pretty soon. Let's see here. So it's on a Wednesday.
Yeah, the 4th. So, yeah.
I'm pulling up my calendar on my phone. And yes, it's in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
2 weeks and a day.
Yep.
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 And that one, you know, that 7 a.m., I think that's just, you know, so that you can have breakfast before you go to work. And I think it goes about an hour, 15 minutes, hour and a half.
Yeah, I think the target is an hour, but we typically run over 15. A little bit.
Yeah.
But always for good cause. So.
Right, exactly. So, I mean, you can get off to work and be there by 8:30 for sure. No problem. Yeah.
So if you're a 9-to-5-er, and then you can come back for the dessert if you want to.
Yeah. You can go to one or the other or both.
It's
we don't
all
mind.
Good.
Yep.
It's all good. Rip that $100 bill in half. Put half in the morning.
There you go.
Drop half in the afternoon.
We're all piecing it back together.
Yeah. Right. We have tape. Who did
this? We do have tape.
Wait a minute. Here we go. All righty then. Well, let's shut it down with my usual, you know, if you think you have a problem with substances or behavioral health, you do. And maybe you should stop by the recovery center here and talk with Denise or Sean or one of the happy volunteers or peer helpers and do something about it.
There you go. It's free.
It's free. Didn't mention can't beat it's that. Free.
Yeah, it's free. All services are free. I mean, there's the whole little at cost, but yeah. I haven't seen anything over the last 2.5 years that was cost. So, yeah. You know.
Me neither in the last 10 years.
So go figure. But fantastic. We have to say that, I guess.
Yeah. You bet. All right. So long.
You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble. You might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve.